You know what time it is. Welcome to Great Table Talk. Childhood friends coming together to make a difference in our everyday community. Enjoy this week's episode.
Well, welcome to Great Table Talk. It's your girl, Cash.
And me.
And of course, this guy. What up, B?
Well, not to it, man.
I mean, you know.
How you been? How's everything going?
I've been great. It's just, it's good to see you. I mean, you are real. You do exist.
I am here in the flesh. Still here, still kicking.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
2019.
Wow.
I mean, it just seemed like really honestly, just yesterday we were sitting as teenagers like, man, in a year 2000, 2019 or 2020, we're going to be flying in cars. Remember that? We used to sit back like thinking 2019, 2020. Even 2000 was like so far away.
You know what's weird? I don't remember that. And this may sound crazy in the moment, but I remember most of that time, like, people always saying, like, the world was going to end. Like, the world was going to end in 2012. I thought I was living on borrowed time.
Yeah. I didn't even drink that Kool-Aid. I'm like, okay, whatever. If it does, whatever, you know.
Like, the world was ending a lot back then.
This is true.
It's good that in 2019, we still here, we still rolling.
I mean, hey, welcome all. We want to just tell you, you know, we miss you guys. We had to take a little sabbatical to kind of do our thing at the end of the year. We kind of reflect. Yeah. We do our vacationing. Yeah. We kind of do our partying. You know how that is, you know. I had a good time. Yeah. 2018 was overall pretty good to me, I must say. What about you?
I could throw it in the trash, honestly.
But it's good to me. Hey, I'm just like, I'm glad to say I survived. Hey, you know? It was a good year for me.
Trust me, 2018 was a learning lesson. A learning lesson.
You know what you sound like? Funny thing is, you sound like, okay, no, you don't exactly sound like him. Of course, you probably not know who he is. His name, John Gray.
John Gray.
It's a minister that you know.
Not the guy that bought the wife the car guy.
Yes.
Oh, you have no idea how much I hate him.
Listen,
Say hate is such a strong word. But I like, I don't see him as everybody else sees him. I'll just leave it like that.
I see him. I like John. John is dope. Speaking of which, since
John
we're
is
talking
one,
about
John is 1 or 2 months away from a scandal. I promise you.
Oh, so you say that. That's kind of what I'm leading to.
Oh, well.
You know, that's kind of what I'm leading. Well, for the record, I like John Gray. You know, I think anytime you take the stance of becoming something, getting popular, if that's safe to say. Yeah. Anytime you become popular, there's always going to be something that someone has to say.
Yeah.
In it, let's take it a step further. You become popular and you are a minister. You come to say people don't give ministers no slack.
No, trust me, that there's definitely a view of like you know, people. In that field right now, though, where it's a little, you know.
Right. Back in the day, the pastors used to be able to go to church, preach. Yeah. You know, how they used to get paid mainly, not because of tithes and offerings, but because Sister Mary Clarence was cooking and invited him over. And people gave. But now it's to the point now that with that popularity, by you saying that you're a minister or a pastor, it comes with all kind of. And I wouldn't want that job to save my life.
I just think of like what happened to pastors, kind of like the thing that happened to police officers. It's like all of you aren't bad, but it's so many of you that are bad, and the good ones don't speak against the bad ones, that everybody kind of gets lumped into that same that thing. Because
I can definitely see that correlation. When you started off, I was like, wait one damn minute, what you mean, police officer?
Yeah,
but I guess I can see that.
Like if your field has a negative connotation to it, and you know that there are bad ones there, like you know them. Like
right.
And most of these pastors, especially the big ones, like they know each other.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and if you're not holding your brother accountable, which I think we even had a podcast, we talked like. If you expect common people to hold each other accountable, how are y'all going to get to this place and this status and not hold each other accountable?
Yeah, and I think in that same manner that you showed your ass, need to be the same manner that you need to get some stuff right, which is expose and challenge and call someone to the carpet. So, speaking of John Gray, so he bought the wife the $200,000, what was it?
I think it was a Lamborghini.
Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Which I didn't knock that.
I'm a car guy, so that's the only way that I knew that story because of the car.
Right. Now, me on the other hand, I'm not a car girl, but I thought to myself, oh, okay, he has a right to buy his wife anything he chooses to buy his wife.
Yeah.
However, people or the church, however you want to look at it, looked at it. It better not be the church's money.
And I always think that that's the thing too, especially with us when we give in a manner of charity to where we think maybe it's going to some to someone in need. No, if you give someone money, you gave them money.
Thank you. Just
like you said, they can do whatever they want to do with the money. But
thank you. I mean, and again, who's to say it came from the church? Like, here's the thing. Whatever your gift is, and this is how I feel, because I have, I swear to you, at the end of 2018, I've had quite a few conversations, even before this story broke, about the church, paying tithes, mm-hmm. end times, religion, be it Hebrew Israel. Like, I don't know what caused these topics to come along, the people that I have in my life.
Yeah.
And here's my thing. Let's talk about the tithes thing real quick. I am not one to say, and I'm probably going to get the worst example in history, but I am not the one to say, if I pay tithes, my pastor can't drive a Bentley or he can't drive whatever. I'm not one, but again, you're talking to a person who's not, stuff doesn't have me. You get what I'm saying? I'm not a stuff person.
Yeah.
And I feel as though, hell, I have 2 degrees. I just recently stopped paying Sallie Mae. And if I could, Sallie Mae, you ain't, okay? But I just recently, I'm recently just finished paying Sallie Mae. I pay Sallie Mae for a service because I believe that I can profit off of whatever. Let's take it. So you in church, you getting something. When something feeds you or you feel good about something, especially, sometimes you want to donate towards it. I've seen the little dog commercial on TV. Oh, you know, the dog with the sad music and the dog commercial.
Oh, the ones that come on late
night.
Yes. Oh, man, those are crazy.
Let me go ahead. Back in the day, I sent like, you know, a couple dollars to them. Just, I did. Don't judge me. You're judging. You know, this is 2019. Stop judging. So, but what I'm saying is, there's often times that I'm particularly led to do something, and I don't want to be judged on me being led to do something.
Yeah.
You know, now I do have my issues if I'm in church and you begging me, like, we got $1,000 line. Those who want to give $1,000, let's sow a seed. Come, y'all, come. Yeah, we need 10 more people. I don't do well with that.
But that's the hustle. Like, I think if people don't see that, then, you know, they just, like, I think some of us want to be led astray. Like, some of us want to live in a different space. Like, our regular life is so hard that we want to go to church and hear this message of prosperity, this message, and then it kind of gives you hope, and you kind of keep pushing through that.
And you got those prosperity teachers, you have all that. And again, I'm not trying to pull straws, but what I'm just simply saying is this. I'm not a woman that is sold onto stuff, although I need some stuff to survive and to live in today's society. But one of the things I do know is if I'm led to do something, I'm led to do it.
Yeah.
And just like a homeless person, I have given countless homeless people, you know, throughout the years of my life. Mm-hmm. And there's been countless homeless people that I didn't give to because I wasn't led to.
Yeah.
But you think for a second, if, for me particularly, if I am led to do something, do you think I'm worried about if he going to buy alcohol or drugs or whatever with that money? You get what I'm saying? I'm just led at this moment to do this.
Yeah.
Now, I'm taking the biblical reference to tithing out of the picture. I'm taking everything out of the picture. When you are in a profession such as mine, and you go for training and for certifications to kind of mm-hmm. keep you relevant and valid, you're paying for a service. You think I give a damn if my instructor cheats on his wife at the... Nah, I know this is kind of deep. This is against religion. But I'm paying for a service.
Yeah, but at the end of the day...
Why can't we have that same view when it comes to...
Because you kind of merge into things. Like, personally, what you do with your money is one thing. But if you're running your church as a business, then it's a business. Then that's kind of where the problem comes in, because people give to a church not because they think that the church is actually generating a profit off of them. And that's where they get confused, and that's where they get upset, because now, like, I'm going to church because, I, like you said, I'm convicted and I hear a message and I'm mm-hmm. giving you because I think this is going to feed the soul of others. But the money's not, like, look, money doesn't feed souls.
Money doesn't
get that confused right. all the time.
Money doesn't feed souls, but again, money doesn't feed souls. That's correct.
Yeah.
However, in order to reach the masses, you sometimes need the money.
But well, that is something that I think I understand about people, and it definitely about our people. Like, we see affluence as a measuring stick. So pastors do have a thought process and understanding of where I need to look wealthy in order to have people come to me.
And not all pastors, but yeah, you have some.
I mean, not all, but most. Like, definitely any of the ones that have kind of made it to that next level. Like, none of them are, you know, saying or giving a vow of poverty. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They are living a lifestyle that they know others will envy in order to gain followers.
Right.
Like,
okay.
That's just, you know, that's just the game. And they, you know, you can't give it any other way. Because if I'm a pastor and my pastoral job, because when you went to church when you was young, pastor was the pastor and he didn't have no other job. His only job was, like you said, saving souls, mm-hmm. of being there for his congregation. So having jets, having mega mansions in multiple locations, that's like, that's far outside of the scope of what it is you say your job is. And if you're a Bible thumper and you're preaching his Bible, I'm sorry, Jesus didn't have five huts in different areas, and he didn't have any of that.
But the times were different, too. Just like when we were growing up, the times were different with pastors. Pastors sometimes, like I said, he probably worked full-time sometime, or he didn't, but then got paid off of...
But what I'm saying is that you don't think Jesus could have set up shop somewhere and did miracles for a profit?
He could have, but you know?
You're going to come in, holler at me at five.
But we're speaking as if those few who are mega churches, mega... pastors, if you will, as if that's the majority. I know ministers right now that are very effective, and yet they're taken from their house to make sure that they give towards what God told them to give towards. Meaning, they don't live in a big old house.
No.
They don't drive the fanciest cars. But why are we not talking about those people?
But those are the people that the onus is on us to bring about. Like, I always say that those people are the ones that should be lifted up like the others are, but that's not really our way. Like, we like to... As much as we hate flashiness, cockiness, or whatever, or even that thing that borderlines arrogance because it's sheer determination, we envy that thing. I mean, and even though you detest it at a certain point, you know, we still uplift those people. There's a reason.
Yeah, what's true?
Like, you're Trump's right. The president. There's a reason.
And that shows a lot about us as a society.
Exactly.
And as the country.
Like, we subconsciously understand that there are certain things that we shouldn't do. But we still uplift it in so many ways in our everyday life.
Unfortunately, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. Next trending topic.
All right.
Oh, I hate this topic. R. Kelly.
Robert Kelly.
Oh, Robert.
Are we talking about R. Kelly or are we talking about Robert? Because I heard there's two of them.
Yeah, that's what they say.
I just want to make sure we're talking about R. Kelly or we're talking about Robert.
I'm talking about R. Kelly. I don't know too much about Robert. From what I understand, Robert was kind of like a sheltered. Shy child. But still, Robert or R. Kelly, they both don't know how to read. That's what they say.
That's crazy.
Don't know how to read.
You know, it's a B. Like, that goes to show you that you don't have to have it all to be successful. Like, you just got to have determination.
And you
got to
be gifted. Not success. Okay. Not success. But to reach the level that he's reached. You know, he's ingenious in a lot of situations.
I hate to do that because I think we place too much onus on gifts. I mean, for him, he couldn't read, he couldn't write, so music was his way out. We have no idea how much time he's dedicated to music. A part of his genius is just that he immersed himself in it.
True. And again, I do believe that anything that you immerse yourself in, you have the higher likelihood to become very good at it.
Yeah. And because you know what put that in perspective to me? Guinness Book of World Records, this guy did 4,000 and something chin-ups or pull-ups or whatever it is.
Oh, really?
That's insane to me.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I'm saying? I'm a gym rat, and that's insane to me.
Yeah.
But he says, people get a kick out of the 4,000 that I had to do to break the record, but I did 67,000 training for it.
Cool.
Do you understand that dedication?
The time, the dedication, the drive.
If we saw this guy and we saw him do this, like, man, this guy's amazing. He's talented. He's gifted or whatever. And it's like Michael Jordan. He's talented. He's gifted. LeBron, he's talented. He's gifted. But nobody's talking about the 20,000-30,000 hours they spent in the gym shooting the basketball.
True. Okay, let me go here with you about R. Kelly. Let's even get away from his genius. What, your man, and I had... tons, unfortunately, countless of arguments and debates about this very thing.
It's crazy.
Most from women, some from men. You're a man. Tell me your standpoint.
That is amazing how supportive people still are on a certain level. Like, they made the test and be like, look, I still ain't stopped listening to the music. And that's what it is. Like, he falls in such a crazy category, because if this wasn't like teenage girls, what kind of makes it gross? Mm-hmm. Like, he's really living a life that people glorify in every song that you hear. In all the pimp movies that everybody seems to love. Like, yes. Like, everybody loves Todd out here for a pimp. Yeah. But R. Kelly, real life pimping and everybody met.
Okay, but this kind of goes with our moral compass.
Exactly.
At what cost? For instance, you're not dating these days, allegedly, you're not messing with anybody who's 12, 13, 14, 15, or 16, or 17. Man, but you have 19 to 35, 36 of women that you have manipulated and have enslaved mentally. Is that not a moral?
Like, I heard, man, it was so many crazy things, like you said. Like, I even had a guy that said, in other countries, they marry, you know, kids all 14, 15 years old. It's just in American society.
Countries like the Middle East and stuff like that. And I'm like, I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, it kind of is the way we were raised, you know, to think that that's wrong. And yeah, they do it. But, I mean, they got forced marriages and everything. That don't make it right.
But we're in America.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about being in America. In America, that stuff that works in other countries, like there's multiple wives and marrying people when they're 12, that ain't gonna fly. Because this is America.
Yeah.
And we ain't gonna tolerate that in America.
Well, like I said, as long as you wash them through that court system in America, they don't care how many times you get married, how many wives you have.
Well, this is
just
true.
Get rid of one and get you another one.
And if you're marrying multiple at the same time, you're gonna have to answer to them.
But you know, it's almost like somebody's got to kind of report you to for that, because like
this is true.
You can run, like it's not like it's a database
true.
Where it's gonna be like it's gonna
true.
Pop.
True.
You go to courthouse in every parish and get married.
This is true. And then once you report it, that's the problem. But it's once you report it, and that's kind of where we at in society. I think oftentimes when we hear about it is one thing, but when it hit home and it becomes your daughter, your cousin, oh, now we want to alert the authorities. I think us as a culture, it's a problem. And I think, honestly, we fail as a community. If we were to think about this, we fail, you know, those girls. I'm talking as a community.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, I had the same thought, because it's like, I've seen these things for, you know, like pop up, like, you know, you might be going through your timeline, you might be online, mm-hmm. and you might see a R. Kelly story, and you just scroll past that shit.
Yeah,
I ain't even trying.
I know, right? I mean, you be like, yeah, move on.
But like, that's our relationship with ourselves. Like, we don't really give a fuck about black people's problems.
That's a great point. That is a great point.
We don't.
I never looked at that. Yeah,
we really don't.
Well, cause we better be trying to survive ourselves.
We don't care. And even in these things right here, it's like you can have a story about a man taking advantage of teenage girls, and men and women finding ways to fucking help him.
Yeah,
like it's still it's the girl's fault.
Yeah,
they shouldn't do the things that they were doing.
That's
they
true.
Shouldn't dress the way they were dressing. They shouldn't have mm-hmm. been calling no grown man.
Yeah,
it's all about what they do. Like, we're making 14 and 15 year old girls 40 year old women. We're giving them the brains of 40 year old women.
That's what that is so deep. That is deep. I ain't even
that's insane.
Oh yeah, that's something that we all need to think about and hold ourselves accountable. You get what I'm saying?
This dude is next level, man. Like this
right.
This is next level predatory shit.
I'm so embarrassed by him. He just embarrasses me. Okay, moving on. The owner of Amazon.
Yeah.
The most expensive divorce in history.
Yeah, now see, I would have to depend on you for this one, because I had not seen this one. I've been out of the loop on this one.
When I saw this pop up, I was like, well, $137 billion.
Is that the pot or is that the half?
That's the pot.
Okay.
That's the pot. And you know, Amazon, amongst some of the things he owns, there's a streaming service, there's Whole Foods he owns. I mean, it's a lot. $137 billion. To date, the most expensive divorce has been, I think he paid out, the guy paid out like $1.3 billion to date. And I forget the guy's name, it fails me, but. And I've talked to a few people and they were like,
But I thought like Amazon was in trouble itself, like Snapchat and all these other bits. They're not actually like pulling profit or some kind of way. Like they're in, you know, the red.
Well, keep in mind, the red in trouble. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that story. But I wouldn't be surprised if that was the deal. But I don't know how it could be the deal, considering because I think Amazon merged with some. With somebody to deliver their own packages because they're about to break their contract with USPS.
Like,
so I don't think that they're necessarily in the red, but it wouldn't surprise me. But that don't, by them saying that they're in trouble, sometimes they're just revamping how they do things.
Whatever. What was the companies back in the day? It was like Xerox and
IBM.
Xerox and IBM. I think they and like one of them was doing really well and the other one was doing very poorly, right. And the other one almost drowned the other.
That's correct.
Like, so like sometimes like you think a business is making a gazillion dollars and they're not. Like they're actually, you know, because things get crazy. Like, you know, your officials start making crazy amounts of salary and you can't keep the monster going.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I want to get back to 137 billion.
Yeah, we got.
I want to tell the wife, you go, girl, you go. And some would say, now the first thing when we were talking, you know, before we started to record, you know, B was saying, just like most people, was like,
you wasn't with me shooting in the gym, like, yo. But I don't know this story, so I always say I'll take that back because maybe she was working a computer, a man in the phone back when they were trying to get this thing popped off.
Okay, but let me just say, if I was rocking with you and we were sleeping on futons while we was building this together, and again, all fairness, I don't know what she has to offer.
Yeah.
I don't even know what her profession is, what her role is in the company, but I can tell you this, we did not have a prenup. This 23 years of marriage.
Yeah.
After this, what pisses me off. This 2019, I want to share how I want to cuss. This is pissing me off because they had a trial separation.
All right.
And during this trial separation, he, of course, found some new love, which is typically the case. Most of the times when you split up with
these, $137 billion, he ain't got a hard time searching for
love. That's what I'm trying to say. Won't you just sit your monkey down and just relax. Relax and reevaluate your life. Why y'all just can't sit down and relax and reevaluate your life? Why you got to jump back into somebody else's bed? But it goes back to what I was always told. Even though, ladies, you may be off, you and the guy may be off, that man is never off. He's always on.
I'll say it like this right here. And this is for men and women. And I like women like to come at us and they were trying to roast us when we fall short of expectation. Definitely in this arena right here. But what is what I want to ask you. As a woman, what do you have that you prize that's 23 years old?
It depends on what we're talking
about. No, it doesn't matter. Tell me what you possess and that you have possessed for 23 years that you still prize.
My experience.
No.
My journey.
That's not a tangible. Myself. We're talking about a tangible thing. Because I can touch my wife.
A tangible thing.
You know what I'm saying? I need to be interested and involved and completely dedicated to this person because that's what marriage is.
It is. That is marriage.
You know what I'm saying?
And you did catch me off guard by it. But I'm going to tell you this. One thing I would prize. Listen.
It was a trial separation. The man was they've already told each other privately that, you know what? After 23 years, I don't think this is what we wanted to be.
Listen.
You know what I'm saying?
After 23 years, let me tell you something. And women look at things a little differently. We don't look at things as, oh, we've been together too long, you have expired. We don't look at tangible things, especially like relationships, as if you have expired. Because if that's the case, soon as our kids make it up a certain age, we'll take them to the mount like Abraham did and kill them.
All right. Now, here we go.
You get what I'm saying? So, I value family.
Theory.
I value marriage.
Yeah.
I would certainly value my spouse because we have been through some things. And y'all out here trying to get with these new hoes.
See,
and trying to hold on. I gotta speak my piece.
The female response to things.
Y'all out here valuing these new hoes who didn't sacrifice countless hours that you spent in the office or while we was working on our career and we were still rocking with you even though you were less than a man most of the times and we tried to make you feel like you were such a big man. The reality of it is we value things. Unfortunately, y'all view relationships as disposable.
I think.
And I'm saying that loosely.
I think we, well, I think the concept that men get, like, we are able to be more in the moment than I think women are, because I think women put value on time invested and things like that that I don't think men do.
True.
We think about
that's
what,
a true statement.
We think about what the value of a person or a situation is in my life at the moment. That's kind of us all the time. That's our blind spot, because we're not saying, man, this woman's been with me for, you know, 15 years. She's helped me when I wasn't working, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. We never really hear men say that until after the relationship's over, because that's right. When they take the time to reflect, right. And then they understand it. In the moment, they're not thinking about it like that. You're just saying, my wife got on my nerves today.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? My wife, right. You know, it's like that's not our way.
And that strips us of the security. All women truly, at the end of the day, we desire security. Yeah, you as a man, we want you to take care of us. We want you to protect us. We want you to profess your love to us. We want you to put all them other broads on check, you know, when it comes to the manner of them overstepping. And we view you greater, even when you come up short. We are willing to bridge that gap. But you take away if you take away our security, no matter how much money you're making, no matter... how often or not that you come home, no matter if you have a job or not, and you can't, you know, provide financially, that messes with the whole foundation of our relationship.
Yeah, and I'm with that point. I just sometimes in different situations, I don't know exactly what that situation is, but in most situations today, whether they've been together for a long time, whether they've been together for a short time, and they still having problems. It's mainly because of what was in the beginning. A lot of our relationships aren't relationships of love. They're relationships of convenience.
But 23 years ago, I'm pretty sure he wasn't balling. But 20, and it probably was dated probably way beyond the 23 years. But I'm pretty sure it wasn't all money. And some things are not monetary. Most relationships, period, when it comes to woman and man, most relationships is these days wasn't because the man came with all kind of monies.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
But like, the relationship could have been more of a partnership in the beginning that turned into something. Like, say, even if we were married, say that maybe we didn't make all this money. We may have been divorced 7 years ago. But because I've been so distracted, you know, building this company and making this money, that, you know what, we stayed together.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, they could have been living completely separate lives for years, even before the trial separation.
Could have, right.
You know?
Correct.
Like,
and again, I think because somebody lost sight on what we are about. And again, I don't think that's a time thing. I think that's a
relationship thing
on a person.
I mean, if you don't care about a person, if you don't love a person, it does. Like, all the outside stuff is just things that people kind of give reason for why things don't work. Like there just comes a time to where even outside of $137 billion, to where they may have just mentally become different people.
True.
You know, like, she could have stayed the same old person. He could have been like, I'm worth $137 billion, baby. I can't move like that no more.
Right. Okay, true. But I can tell you what, in the midst of my heartbreak.
Well, ain't run no heartbreak.
Run me. You don't know.
Look, I'm saying, you don't know. Like, them chicks that be on that with that lawyer chick talking about all the pain and suffering, and she just got 23 minutes. Like, ain't no pain and suffering.
Run me. Come on now. My half of this $137 billion and allow me to grow and heal.
Yeah.
I would, yeah. Listen, ladies, yeah. And this was from me to you. Don't you know, 2019, no longer sacrifice your peace of mind for nothing. Your stability for nothing.
I didn't even say peace of mind. Like, 2019, just, like, be honest. Like, I don't think, like, everybody wants to be mad post-relationship when they didn't really deal with the issues while they were in them.
Fair enough.
You know, like,
fair
be
enough.
Honest. Like,
men, be honest.
Both ways.
Women always honest.
No, okay, no women are not always honest, because if women were always honest, they wouldn't be like, I wasted 2 years with you and you ain't never been. Like, if this man ain't never been nothing in 2 years, what
fair,
you was there for?
Fair enough, because she was hoping you changed.
Come on, man.
Like, she was hoping you changed.
That goes to what I'm saying. You were not honest, because if it's been 2 weeks and, like, it's been crappy, like, you don't speak to me, we don't, like nothing's going on.
So you mean to tell me after 2 weeks after not speaking or whatever, you be like, well, this ain't working, I'm out.
No, not to say that it's not working, but the conversations, you got to have the, like, people don't have the conversation. Like,
you
people
gotta have
go months, years without having a conversation.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm not happy.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. And I do agree with that. We have to start doing some things different.
Yeah.
Having those uncomfortable conversations.
That's right.
And
make, not even if you make the conversations comfortable. Because what I'm saying to you, if you're in a marriage or in a relationship, and the goal of both people is that the other person is happy, that's not an uncomfortable conversation. Because if that person cares about you, whatever you bring to them, they're willing to hear it. Listen, if they're not, leave.
Listen, how can I say this? I want to make sure I say this right without cussing.
Go ahead.
Because I don't want to just go in and start cussing. You know, I don't try to... Oftentimes, I think it's important in relationships, and we're taking this for a turn, but I think this is important in relationships for you to often have checks and balances. Yeah. And this kind of ties into what you're saying. Oftentimes, you waste too much time allowing days to pass by hoping something changed without calling that person to the carpet, expressing how you feel.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So, and I'm talking about women and men. Yeah. Women sometimes don't say nothing because they don't want to rock the boat, or they don't want to cause him to shut completely down. When I, at this point, notice that you'll work much more than him not speaking to you for a day or two.
But that's just the case. Like, that's your identifiers. I think people are afraid to have the conversation because they don't want to deal with the rejection. And this is my thing right here. If you don't want the relationship to end, if that's your fear that this person's going to leave you because they're not making you happy, like, that's on you.
And
you
can't end. We're talking about this whole happiness thing. This bothers me, too. It's because happiness is a feeling that happiness is a fleeting feeling. Happiness is not something that you always, because even with kids, and I often, and I've gotten to arguments. And I'm saying arguments because it was...
This is argument.
It became a heated
fellowship. It was an argument.
Because with a lot of people, because oftentimes they're like, well, I'm not happy no more. At the end of the day, I relay relationships between man and woman in an aspect of when there's commitment versus being a parent.
Yeah.
And this is what I mean in this regard. Oftentimes when you have a kid... or a young adult, teenager, or young adult, these little people are not going to always make you happy.
All right. I'm going to tell you that I agree with you. And I think we don't agree, but we kind of agree in certain areas. But this is what I mean by what I say about happy. I think people should personally check in with themselves, period. Like, this is...
This is
my life. This is what makes me happy. This is what I'm unhappy with. If this person continues to fall in line of what you're unhappy with in your life, explaining to them why you're unhappy, you know, like, that's the conversation you gotta have, because maybe you're not seeing it right. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're saying, okay, I'm unhappy because you leave your shoes by the door. I'm tired of picking up your damn shoes every time I gotta go out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And he may explain to you that there's a reason why he did it. And then it dawns on you, like, you know what? You know, that makes perfect sense. I'm being a butt right now.
Okay.
So let me self-check myself.
Okay.
And it's not about saying that, okay, this man is saying that he's not happy, therefore he runs out in the street, does whatever. Because that's not right either. Because as a man, if you're with a woman and she ceases to be the apple of your eye, the person that you're completely obsessed with, then you need to be man enough to say her. Because I hate men that act like they're doing their woman a favor by being with her and not leave. Like, oh, I don't want to leave her. We, you know.
You're not going to agree to that. Check us out. I totally agree with that. Look at you.
No.
Don't do me no favors.
If you don't want her, leave her.
Mm.
You know, because, like, we don't tell ourselves enough truth. And people don't realize how much they lie.
That's some real stuff right there. That is some real stuff. Start telling your damn self the truth.
Yeah.
Now, as we wrap up this podcast, we've been talking about trending topics. We discuss John Gray from the $200,000+ car that he bought to how we view.
And I want to say something about that because I don't want it to be misguided. Like, I don't have a problem with his message. I actually like his message. It's something about him personally that I don't see, you know, that... And I hate to say genuine about it, but he's selling a message. And I think when people realized that he was selling a message, they got mad, but it's a business.
If he's selling a message, this is going to go, we didn't talk about this earlier, but if he's selling a message, would he get up on his New Year's Eve service just to discuss his challenges in 2018? And people were led to believe that he cheated on his wife in 2018 by what he said, and his wife said whatever. And again, one of the things that I think a lot of people don't do if they're pastors and ministers, and I know we kind of going back, a lot of the things that people don't do as pastors and ministers is live their truth. And to be vulnerable enough to live your truth in a public eye, it can cause you to be a target and cause your church to lose money. So again, I say,
I'm telling you, there's so much gain in vulnerability. Because what in this social media age, in this reality TV age, to be relatable to people that are unperfect and struggling, and to show that you are just that, is to gain in popularity and not fake. Like you got to think, some of our most famous people are famous because of things that the average person would be embarrassed of.
Yeah.
But it's made them a celebrity.
Right.
So like missteps is just like Jimmy Swagger being in the pulpit crying his eyes out talking about I have sinned, and his church increasing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that is our way, because we love to forgive our heroes. Like, we do.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say these days that I have heroes, although I know what you meant by that.
Yeah.
But I would certainly, I'm a sucker for, number one, the underdog, and I'm definitely one to follow somebody who's willing to live their truth, although I may disagree with certain things that they may do. So, if you're willing to live your truth, you're my kind of person.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? As awful as it may be, or as wonderful as it may be willing to live your truth. And I don't care if you're a pastor, I don't care if you're a dope boy, be willing, or a dope girl, or whatever, willing to live your truth, and we'll be good. But that's my standards, and that's kind of how, you know, I realize whatever somebody that has the clout, whatever they choose to do, that's between them and their God.
Yeah.
But as far as me and my God, what's more important to me is not worry about if you tithing, or you going to church or not. Or my only thing is, you need to be accountable to something greater than yourself, because if you just depend on yourself as being your own God, you'll disappoint yourself, and you'll be the first one to want to jump from a building head first.
No, into the subject of what you're saying, I'll say this right here, and I'll add to that. Stop giving money to things to make yourself feel better. Because the majority of people that get mad when they feel like their money is being misappropriated is because they gave it in the wrong faith anyway. They're giving it and hoping that things get better for them. I'm giving it because I feel like God's going to punish me if I don't give it. I'm giving it because...
I agree with that.
Like, you can't pay for blessings.
No, you can't pay for blessings.
So, like I said, wash all of that away and keep it. If it comes down to that, keep your money in your pocket.
But you have a responsibility that if something has invested in you and brought you to a next level, you have a responsibility to invest in that thing.
I mean, I totally agree with it. But I mean, I think with that, we can have a whole another podcast.
I know, really.
Because what I'm saying is that if the church is going to tell me, or even if I believe in myself, that I'm investing in something that's investing in me, mm-hmm. when are the churches going to begin to invest in those congregational people outside? Like, the same financial gain that I'm giving you, when are you going to kind of appropriately bring that back in?
You have churches out there that's doing it still to this day, but y'all don't really want to talk about them because y'all so fixated on the ones who y'all putting a standard of what he's driving. Where he living.
No, we like opulence. Like, I mean, it's a competition for everything. It's like, the minute, like, I can't go to a small church because my neighbor goes to the big church down the street with the steeple, and they got a fish tank in there. My church ain't got no fish tank. I won't go to church with a
fish tank. My church don't have no heated marble floors.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what it is with us. Listen. You know, I mean, to the point to where you watch the SPCA commercial, and I'm watching somebody drop a stack on the bishop. And then a guy come behind him and drop a bigger one.
I know it. Yeah, those things, again, it's your personal preference, but I do.
Pastor talking on the money phone in church. What you say,
dog? Oh, I didn't see. Shut up. We're about to end this podcast.
I'm just saying.
Oh, my goodness. This has been a good one, as always. It's your girl, Cash, and of course,
it's me, B.
And we out. Bye.